Good morning. Good to have everyone with us. If you are visiting, we're certainly glad to have you as our honored guest, and hope you enjoy participating in our class this morning. This class is Self-Control Like Christ, and there are handouts for lesson today, which is lesson number 10, the tongue back there, and then you can also pick up the lesson for next week, which is going to be habits, and also willpower. All right, habits and willpower is next week. Boom, I need a cup of coffee this morning. Mine was too early. But anyway, we're almost finished with a class, which is amazing. We'll have that class next week, and then on the 19th, we will have David Banning will be with us for our gospel meeting that we have coming up, and we're looking forward to having David. And then we'll have one wrap-up class, and we will be done. But I'm just so appreciative of everyone's involvement in class, and I hope it's been beneficial for you, because it's certainly been beneficial for me. And if, like I say, if you don't have a copy of the lesson for today, there's still some copies on the tables in the back. And if you need a copy of the lesson for next week, it's back there as well. If you don't mind, join me for a word of prayer as we get started. Our Heavenly Father, we come this morning before you humbly bowed, thanking you for all many blessings that you give us. We know we're so fortunate. We pray we won't ever take for granted the things that you do for us in our lives every day, physically. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that he made coming down from heaven, the life that he lived, the example he was, and the hope that he gives us of being with you for eternity one day. As we participate in this class today and we open your word, help us to glean from it the things that we need to do to control our tongues, to let our tongues reflect you and the things that we do and say every day, so that you will be pleased with our lives in this earth so we can be with you for eternity in heaven. Pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Some of the things that we've talked about before, I still believe these things are important as we think about making our lives what they should be. Bible study, meditation, prayer. Why are those things important with regard to self-control? And why do you think they're important with regard to controlling our tongues? Bible study, meditation, prayer. Why are they important? Keeps you on track. What else? That's a good answer.
Our minds just automatically remember what we're listening to, what we're feeling.
Right. Brad says, it's kind of what we're putting in there all the time. What we remember, that's what we go to. That's what we go to. And it's just like I was talking to Todd. He's getting ready to teach the book of John. He said, the book of John is coming out my ears. He said, I'm doing so much work studying on the book of John, it's coming out my ears. And that's been the same way for me with this study. I mean, it's just all I think about all day long, absolutely every day. And that's not a bad thing. It's really, really not. Because we can be occupied with so many other things that really aren't where we need to be. And we talked about motivation. What is our motivation? This is not a motivational speaking thing. This is real life as a Christian every day. We've got to figure out what our motive is, what motivates us to control our tongues. Because we're going to get into it in a few minutes. The book of James talks about what a problem it is. It's a problem, and we've got to make sure that we don't let it be a problem. Is it easy to control our tongues? Again, the book of James says, nope, it's not easy. It's not easy. But can we control our tongue? Absolutely, 100%. Don't read what it says in James and think, well, it says I can't control it, so why even try? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, you can, but you got to work at it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how we work on it to make it like it needs to be. So what is our motivation for controlling our tongues? Well, for me personally, and I think for all of us, it's got to be that we want to please God. That we want the fruit that we bear in our lives every day to reflect Him. And when I say bear fruit, that is, what's our motivation? What's our goal? What's our action? Bearing fruit is actionable things that we do or say every day with regard to pleasing Him. Hebrews 11:6, we studied this a few weeks ago. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Bearing fruit is an action. Being diligent is an action. Being a Christian takes work. It takes a commitment, a desire to please God. But our goal should be to please God in everything that we think, do, and say. And that's what I'm going to focus on today. Everything that we think, do, and say. So we kind of have to take inventory on what we're going to do. Proverbs 23:7, it says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, kind of to the point Brad made earlier, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you agree with that? What you think about is what you are. Do y'all agree with that? Say that again. What you think about, that's back to the point that was made originally, what you think about is absolutely what comes out. Absolutely. And is it always good? No, it's not. It's not. But that's why we've got to try and develop the kind of control that God says He wants us to have. Our words basically reveal what is in our heart. God says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God said for man to have dominion. Shouldn't we have dominion over ourselves as well? We should. I mean, shouldn't we let our lives be reflected in the way that we live for Him? So, everything we think, do, and say. Why do we lose control of our tongue? Answer that question for me. Why does that happen? We think, or we speak, before we think about the consequences of what we say. Have you ever done that? You said something, and the minute that last word was out of your mouth, you thought, oh boy, I sure wish I hadn't said that. Dale? Life expression is better. If you didn't hear him, he says, I like the expression of, say it again. Best to keep your mouth shut and people think you're an idiot, then open it and remove all doubt. So, what should our motivation be? To control our tongues. Please God. What? What's that, John? Yeah. When you're going to overload your mouth, think what God would say. So, here's part of what I want us to think about. We've got to make sure that we're controlling our tongues and we're not doing the things that we shouldn't do with regard to what we say and what we do. And I go ahead and put all that up there so I won't forget it. Our goal should be to transform our hearts on a daily basis to make sure they're what God wants us to be. Romans 12:2 says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, your heart, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our words, our actions, our tongue reveal who we are and what we are every day. Y'all believe that? Y'all do good some days and bad other days? Huh? Do you? Come on, be honest. And where does that come from? Where does doing good come from? God and anything associated with Him. Where does bad come from? The devil, things of this world, the things that we talked about over and over in this class. We've got the responsibility to make sure that God's will is perfected in our lives every day through our minds and then the things that we do and say, but we've got to choose that self-control. When we think about the definition of lose control, the definition is generally refers to a lack of the ability to provide conscious limitation of impulses and behaviors as a result of overwhelming emotions. We've talked about emotions before, and emotions is directly tied to the definition of self-control. So we have got to be working diligently every day to try and develop that self-control of our emotions. Jim? That's right. So Jim's talking about 2 Corinthians 10, thank you, and how Satan will take control of our thoughts if we don't take control of them. A lack of discipline, a lack of developing good verbal habits. And we're going to talk about habits and willpower next week, but we have to have good verbal habits. Otherwise, we open it up and here it comes. Blah, 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 blah. And it's not always good. So we've got to take control of what it is, what we say. We've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to do the very best we can to make sure that what we think about is going to come out in a way that it's going to be pleasing to God. Okay, so let's think about how we develop strong verbal habits. Because I think it's really important for us to do that. Number one, strong verbal habit is how we communicate with others. How I interact with somebody else. How I interact with Anthony. How I interact with my wife. How I interact with a customer that I might deal with in business. That's one. How I communicate with others. That's a strong verbal habit, whether it's good or it's bad, whatever. And number two is, how do we represent God? As a Christian, should I think about that with absolutely everything that I say? Dave, you work for the city of Bowling Green. You got a lot of people that you interact with every day, don't you? Taxpayers, I mean, everybody, even at the office is taxpayer. But I mean, I'm talking about taxpayers that see y'all as providing services. Then you got everybody within City Hall that you're working with too, right? So you got lots of people that you're exposed to every day. How important is it that you maintain the kind of communication that's going to reflect well on Dave and the city, but also God? And how much more effective are you when you've got control of it as opposed to you let something that happens get under your skin and you lose it? He talks about, he said, I lose my credibility at that point. Y'all ever put yourself in a position where you lose your credibility because of what you say? That's easy for us to do, isn't it?
Affects my feelings, and then my feelings affect my feelings, and you get
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So if you didn't hear the comment, feelings and behavior and the interaction between two people is just a big circle. And it can either really be good or it can really be bad. So we've got to understand that. We've got to take control of that. We've got to do the very best we can to live the way that God wants us to and represent Him the way that He wants us to as Christians. Go to James because we're going to spend some time there. But there are so many great scriptures. I've got a whole page of verses that are tied to the tongue, that talk about the tongue. And the Proverbs has got so many of them. And one of them's pointed out, but there's just so many things that point to how important controlling our tongues is in our lives every day. James 3, 1 through 18. I'm not going to read all of those right now. We're going to hit them a little bit individually and talk about some of those things. But basically, here's what I want you to think about as we look at James, the third chapter in 1 through 18. Where do your words come from? In the things that you think about, the things that you do, and then ultimately what you say. Think, do, and say. That's what I want you to remember partially from today. Think, do, and say. Think, do, and say. That is where our tongue is tied to who we are and how we represent ourselves to God. If you look at James 1:26, that's a great one too. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So if I come in here and I'm at worship service all the time, and then you see me outside of this building and I can't bridle my tongue, what kind of influence am I having on this church, on West End Church Christ? What negative? How am I representing the church of Jesus Christ? It's horrible. Well, somebody say, well, that's hypocrite, right? And what does God, most importantly, think or say? That's the one that we need to be most concerned with. So, really important, need to be thinking about it. Okay, tongue control. It's really important. It's something that we need to think about. But I'm afraid, again, we just don't. We've got to have that goal of controlling our tongue. We've got to have actions that show that we have that objective in mind. We've got a desire to control it. We've got to seek controlling it. And we've got to work to implement it. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty simple, but it's not easy, but it can be done. And when we think about what it says, keep, whoever keeps himself or keeps his mouth, if we keep ourselves, it begins, again, I know this is redundant, with our thinking. It begins with our thinking. And if we don't get our thinking straight, we're not going to be what God wants us to be. We've talked about being a vessel for the Holy Spirit. We've talked about being a vessel for God's Word through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm not saying anything crazy is going to happen with the Holy Spirit through me. I'm saying the Holy Spirit's inspired Word of God is going to lead me in the way that I should live and the things that I think. What else? Do and say. Yeah, actions. Think, do, and say. That's what needs to be happening from me absolutely every day. I've got to be committed to that. So I got to look at God's Word. I got to look at the life of Christ. And that's got to be reflected in who I am. The other thing I think we've got to think about is what we expose ourselves to. Think about our senses. What you see, what you touch, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, and then what you think about all day long. So if you're listening to a bunch of podcasts that are filling your head with a bunch of garbage that does you absolutely no good whatsoever, what's the value of that? or if you're involved in a bunch of gossip about stuff that does you absolutely no good whatsoever, what's the value of that? What is the value of that? That's a big thumbs down. Or if you're watching TV or videos or TikTok or whatever it might be, and you just keep filling your brain with those things, like we said, what's going to come out? What is going to be reflected in our lives? What's going to influence our thinking and what we think, do, and say? Here's one I like. Sometimes the best thing said is absolutely nothing at all. We all need to remember that one. Sometimes the best, well, you know what? Let me just show you. Let me tell you what you need to hear. La, 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 la. You ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise it for you. Okay? And this is me raising my hand too. Or here's another one. And this was the greatest thing. I just started really my business career. I went to a work for a guy. And early on, I hadn't worked for him very long, and he gave me this plaque. And of course, at the time, I was a little bit offended. A closed mouth. Anybody know what the rest of it is? Gathers no foot. That old saying of putting your foot in your mouth. Yeah, I wish I hadn't said that. He gave me this little, you know, nice brown plaque, gold print. A closed mouth gathers no foot. He was trying to tell me, you know, I appreciate all of your energy and all of your want to go get them and everything else. But son, sometimes what you need to do is shut up. Sometimes the best thing said is nothing, and a closed mouth gathers no foot. There's a lot of wisdom in both of those things. What about excuses for things that we say sometimes? Y'all ever make excuses for things you say? Bad excuses. Well, I'm just a passionate person. I've got a short fuse. It's not my fault. What do you expect the way I was treated? He or she had it coming. I didn't deserve to be treated that way. Well, I'm going to put them in their place. If you've ever said anything like that or some variation of it, was that a good thing to do or say? Huh? Was it? Most likely, no. Most likely, no. So we've got to be in control. That's why self-control like Christ is so important. And everything we've talked about through this entire class all ties together. But it's something that we have to individually choose to say, I'm going to do better with this. Todd? Okay.
You're supposed to count it as what? Joy.
Right.
Because it's going to build patience with you.
Right.
Okay. Verse 5 says if you lack wisdom, which would have to do with patience, you're supposed to do what? Pray for it.
Right.
Right. So everything that you had listed up there.
That's good.
A trial or a temptation. And that, we need to accept it because it's coming, but it's coming for a reason.
That's great. Better,
right?
So Todd's talking about James 1 and how everything we just talked about applies to James 1. Pray for wisdom. You're going to have trials. Things are going to happen, but we've got to be prepared for it. And if we don't read James 1, we don't study our Bibles, if we don't pray about it, we don't meditate, how do we know how to deal with those things? We don't. Yeah. So this is you see my little word salad thing there? Clint, I'll give Clint credit for that, your son there. So back to this whole idea of all of our senses. We've got to choose what we're going to expose our senses to. The internet can be a great thing. Now, I'm probably not the best welder. Well, I know I'm not the best welder. But I can weld well enough to do what I need to do. And I learned it off of the internet. And Jace Caldwell. So that's a good thing. I mean, I learned lots of things off the internet. But there's also lots of bad things you can be exposed to on the internet too, right? So I have to decide what I'm going to expose myself to. We have to choose what we're going to expose our senses to every day. It can be the internet, it can be TV, it can be so many things. What about things that you do when you're with other people? You know, we think about that just applying to young kids, peer pressure. Is there adult peer pressure? Absolutely. Again, back when I first started my career, I can remember going to events that even the organization I worked for where they would sponsor these things and it's everybody's, you know, drinking and socializing and having a big time, and I'd have my glass of water because that's what I drank, was a glass of water. If anybody asked me, I'd tell them why I didn't. But I'm not going to let somebody else influence my relationship with God in a bad way. Word salad. Everything that influences our thinking, our senses, our overall life experiences every day determines what our word salad looks like and sounds like every day. So, just reinforcing that thought of everything that comes up in here and goes into here is what comes out right here. And we've got to decide what it's going to be. What we're going to put in here, what we're going to experience, and then how it's going to be filtered out to those that are around us and the kind of influence that we have on other people. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Actions associated with words in James 3:3-4. Let's look at that real quick. It says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. What about our tongues? Why do we have a hard time controlling our tongues? Body's big, tongue's little. And it's using that example there. Why is it so hard to control our tongues? Why? Tell me.
Verse 6 says it's got a big fuel tank.
Okay.
Fueled by the fire of Abel.
There you go. And we're going to hit that in a few minutes. That's great, Brad. Yeah, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. So when we let our tongues drive, it's coming from something that's in here, that's come from here. And if it's being set on fire by hell, who's that? Huh? That's the devil, that's Satan. And we talked a lot about him in this class too. And you know, we can real easily kind of just blow it off because, boy, he has really made everything so palatable that is sin today that everybody just kind of lets it slide. We cannot do that if we're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. The reason we have trouble with our tongues, self-desire, jealousy, emotions, whatever it might be. But that's where those problems come from. Okay, I'll make sure I'm on the right page here. James 3, 5 through 6, and then verse 8. It says, yeah, and there, part of what Brad was talking about, it says in verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And go down to 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Does that mean it's not possible? And the answer is no. It does not mean that we cannot restrain our tongues. It is not an excuse for going out here and just giving somebody down the road because it's hard to do. We've got to control our emotions. We've got to control what we think about. We've got to be committed to God instead of letting it be fed by the fires of hell and Satan. Because what kind of rules does Satan have? None. Everything and anything goes. That's Satan. Anything and everything goes. Bill? Great point. That's a great point. Bill said we got to remember that little instrument right there that we say we can't control. We talk to God. He gave us that to talk with Him through. That tongue is our ability to talk to God, to let Him know what it is that we're dealing with, the problems that we have, whatever is a problem for us. Yeah, and again, back to James 1:26, add 27 onto it. God has expectations of us. He's made a promise to us, and He also has expectations of us. So we've got to make sure that we understand that. It takes not letting the words that are in our mouths control our actions, or letting somebody else control us either. So we've got to make sure that the things that we do and say are what God would have us to do and say, kind of to the point of what Anthony just said. And it's a commitment that we've got to work on absolutely every day. Okay, so James 3:2 says, "For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." Who is the perfect man? Oh, Donna, go ahead. And that was what again? I'm sorry.
James 1:19.
Right. James 1:19, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath too. Thank you. That's good as well. There's just so many verses. And that also should say something to us about how important it is. It's pointed out so many times. You got to know it's important. Christ was the only perfect man. He set the example for us. Good point. Right. Good point. That's a great point. So David's talking about the fact that because we just talk all the time, we don't fully grasp and appreciate the power of words. It's a great point. They can be either very encouraging or they can be very condemning. And we just, blah, 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 just let them go with no thought about it. Brian, were you? Right. So Brian's saying if we lost our ability to speak and we regained it, would we do better? You know, that happens sometimes with people when they have health issues. and they're like running along and just kind of everything's cool and taking it for granted. It's, boom, I got a health issue. I might die. And then you don't. Does that give you a different perspective? Or somebody close to you goes through that? Does that give you a different perspective? Yeah, and Brian pointed out that Jesus also told the man that returned his speech to, don't tell anybody. So the guy couldn't talk. It's restored. And then he says, don't say anything. Don't tell anybody. It is important. We've got to do the very best we can to control it to the best of our ability every day. And we can only be perfected like Christ was perfected in eternity. That's when we'll be perfected through his blood. We won't be perfect while we're here, but there's not any challenge that we face that, like Todd said in James 1, that we can't overcome. God tells us in verse 7 that it's not going to be easy, but if we will remain focused on what he would have us to do and live our lives accordingly, we're going to be able to make it happen. I'm going to have to get moving because I've got several other things to talk about and running out of time. There are so many good verses in Proverbs, and if anybody wants them, I'll be glad to send them to you. I don't have them on the board, but it's just so many. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Psalms 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. 1 Peter 3:10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. What about lying? I just don't want to tell this, and so I'm going to tell a lie. Why do people generally lie? Save themselves from embarrassment. Why else do they lie? That's a good one. To avoid punishment, that's a good one. To benefit themselves in the immediate. To hurt someone else.
Sometimes we lie to make somebody feel good. Somebody in the hospital about to die. You look like you got, you know, good.
Sometimes we lie to try and make somebody feel good. A lie is a lie. Is the truth sometimes harder to put together and get it out? But that's really where it needs to be, and it's where we need to be. And the way that we live, and the way that we talk, and the things that we do and say. God expects and demands that we take control of our tongues and everything that we say. And there's scripture after scripture that points it out. In 11 and 12, in James 3, talks about the seed that's planted and how the water that comes from that spring, it can't be good and bad water. It's talking about our heart. We're one or we're the other. Do we foster envy and pride, or do we show love and compassion? What reflects who we are? Do we really see love in our lives and the way we express it to other people? That's what Jesus was. In John, 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And God is love. And if we love, like Jesus did and have the kind of love that God wants to see in our lives every day, that's going to be reflected in the things that we say. We're going to look for ways to express that love to other people, to be the right kind of example. Anthony? And what's that verse again?
Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 39.
Okay, that's a good one. Thank you. So again, it's all about what we're talking about. It's what's in our hearts. It's what's in our minds. It's what we expose ourselves to, and then what we choose to do and how we live every day. We have got to decide, and it's going to be a reflection of God. So we got to make sure and understand that we're not going to be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be. But he strives for us to be the best we can be every single day. And we have got to have the motivation, the motive, the goals, the actions, and the purpose in our heart to work toward being what he wants us to do every day, be every day in everything that we think, do, and say. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom." Fruits of the Spirit, like we talked about in Galatians 5, 21 through 23. The right words are going to yield a good crop. And they don't always, but you got to do the best you can still. That's what God expects from us, is our very best. He does not expect perfection, but he expects our best. And verse 14 says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." That's all about self-will. That's all about being self-centered. That's where all that comes from. Verse 15, "The wisdom that does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything will be there." Man's wisdom does not produce the fruits of the Spirit. And we've got to do everything we can every day to try and live according to God's word and his will, and let that be reflected in who we are, what we say, and how we treat other people. In verse 17, it says, "The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So that's who we have got to be. That's what God expects of us. We've got to make sure that we're growing in our hearts the kind of person that God would have us to be while we're here on this life, because who knows when their life's going to end? Nobody. Not a person in this room knows. So we better make sure the fruit that's growing in the garden of our heart is going to be what God wants it to be. Yes, sir. Yeah, and maturity, that's a good point. Maturity is a day-by-day thing. We are maturing every day of our lives. Or we're deteriorating based on the door that we choose and based on whether we choose to develop the kind of self-control that Christ showed us in his life every day. Thanks for everybody's comments. Next week we'll be on habits and willpower. Thank you.